This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter, at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Better late than never.
Sometimes.
Boy, man.
Not always. That's not always true. Hopefully in this case it will be. Yeah, holy cow.
That was exhausting. And I'm losing my
I'm all
voice.
Tired out. Good show. Yeah. Can we just be done with it now? Because we're already really like exhausted from what we just went through.
So,
grueling.
I was gonna steal a line from our good friend and newly triggered Kent Hovind, you know, if we just wait long enough, it'll evolve.
Evolution demonstrated in front of you. The program has evolved.
He's so triggered today. He's so triggered today.
I don't watch his channel. I honestly cannot watch Kent Hovind. I really do have so much empathy for Aaron Raw that has to sit there and listen to that nonsensical bullshit. And you made a brilliant comment the other day, which is not unusual. Okay, I'm gonna give you some credit here, but you said a exceptionally brilliant comment. You said that Kent Hovind has not changed in 10 years, that his arguments are so exactly the same that you literally could take anything that he said 10 years ago and apply it today or vice versa, and it wouldn't make a bit of difference.
It's true.
That is exactly true.
His jokes, his points, all of it is exactly the same as it was 20 years ago. But he left a comment.
His jokes are too, yeah.
He left a comment. And if you allow me to read what Dr. Hovind left on the show last night. All right, he says, "Hey, Aaron, someone told me that you had responded and sent me this link. I only got to watch 8 minutes. So far, it's painfully obvious that I need to school you and the hosts in basic junior high physical science. But hey, I enjoy teaching. So here goes. Re-listen to these 8 minutes to see for yourself that you don't understand the difference between weight and density. I did not say that the flood in Noah's day sorted things by weight, as you falsely accused me of doing several times. I clearly said they were sorted by body density. A truckload of feathers weighs more than a bowling ball, but has less density. You see, density is weight per unit volume. In a flood, 10 tons of feathers would float on top of a 10-pound bowling ball, and they would settle into different layers by density, not by weight. A T-Rex would weigh more than a clam, but the clam is more dense. I'm still working on pointing out the hundreds of errors in your 7-part series. As I get time, I may not be able to correct or even watch the rest of the video for a long time. But if you need education or clarification, any one particular point at a time, please call me, 855-BIG-DINO, extension 3. The first 10 science lessons by phone are free. And by the way, we recommend anyone calling 1-855-BIG-DINO, extension 3. We do not recommend you calling that at all. Don't call that number.
Here's the interesting part of what is said. Okay, he is right. Density, that is obviously mass over unit volume. But what he gets wrong is the buoyancy is dependent upon water displacement or fluid displacement. So it's a huge factor in having a buoyant force is the amount of volume being displaced. Okay, so I don't know what his argument that he's going to have hydrological sorting because of that. I don't know his argument on that. It's going to be because of weight.
Does the fossil record ever in any place actually show that things are sorted by density? Name a place in the fossil record where things are sorted by density.
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea how he's getting that.
Obviously, he's got a sand toy that he uses that he holds up and spins, and the things float, and that obviously means that that's the way that it is, Steve. I mean,
do you think that he subscribes to the theory of dropity?
Yes, I would. I would guarantee it. He made a joke last night, and this just shows you where my mind is. I took it wrong. I just want to clarify this. He made a joke about how the Earth is spinning, and so it bulges in the middle, and he says, "Well, no one make a comment about my bulge." And so I'm thinking he just made a comment about his bulge, because then he looks straight over at I think her name's Lisa or something like that, and he goes, "Don't say a word, Lisa." And I'm like, "Oh my God, he literally just made a comment about," but he meant his stomach was bulging, not his bulge.
Okay.
Are you sure about that?
Never know with Ken. Yeah, Ken has made some pretty off the cuff remarks I think he's probably one of those sexual freaky kind of guys that doesn't really say anything about it too much to make innuendos.
Most people get real into religion and repress things that happens.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
For the people
Look at the Google searches.
For the people who, excuse me, you have to bear with me. My voice is going out tonight. But for the people who sponsored the show in the through the PayPal link or the Patreons, the first private show is going to be on February the 16th. That will be in roughly three weeks. We'll have that, and that'll be with Trevor Valley, and then a gentleman that denies dinosaurs. So, yeah, and that's Kent's explanation for why dinosaurs aren't millions of years old, because back in the Noah's flood days, there was more oxygen in the air, so everything was bigger. Everything lived to be 900 years. Everything was taller, and so iguanas nowadays, if we had enough oxygen, would be the size of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which makes sense, right?
No. You're talking about the higher oxygenation, higher oxygen content. That only works for like insects, like dragonflies were larger, but mammals don't have nothing to do with that.
Ask.
I mean, he's got a biologist in here, but that's, I could tell you that's true.
And I didn't know this.
Plants and insects.
Yep, the atmospheric pressure also has to be higher.
That's why you have a high.
Otherwise, you can have
The last thing about Kent Hovind, last night I was watching his video. He said that he has 3 doctorates. 3.
Well, he has honorary. Supposedly he has honorary doctorates, which is basically the same kind of doctorates that he has from Patriot Bible University.
Oh,
his actual education, he went to, I think it was, his actual education is he went to a community college for 2 years. I believe it was Illinois State Community College that he went to. So he has an associate's degree at best. So, but that's only, he only has 2 years, but he never finished a bachelor's. He never finished a master's, and he certainly never finished an actual PhD.
Patriot Trailer, you mean?
Patriot Trailer, yeah.
Patriot Trailer. All right, before
if
we
he
jump
did,
into.
He would know Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's okay. Well, let's get him introduced here. People are wondering who we're talking to. Okay. Let's get you introduced here because you don't have a video. So nobody can see you. They can only hear you. So who we got here today, Kyle?
We have Florian. I got a message from Florian by Discussional, which is our forum. You can go to tinyurl.com/nonsecme, and you can submit an idea for a show if you have something that you're passionate about or something that you want to discuss. And this was actually one of those submissions. And Florian, I'm going to let you take a second to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do. And then I will let you guys know what we've got coming up tomorrow for another big show. And then we'll jump into tonight's topic. So, Florian, how did you find us? And why did you want to talk about what we're going to be talking about tonight?
I was just watching your YouTube channel and some of the more controversial debates, and I saw the discussional listed, and I was like, you know what? What's a topic that I think would be interesting to discuss that a lot of people have a lot of willful misunderstandings about? That seems like a good topic to discuss live.
You pick Steve's favorite
on
subject.
YouTube channel.
Steve's favorite subject. So tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and why you're interested in gender.
I am a biologist, although technically my degree is going to be in biochemistry. I'm one class away from graduating. Most of my research has been with salamanders and plants. So not really humans or anything anthropology related.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know how evolution works, and I did TA a class in evolution. And,
sweet.
The reason, I'm interested in the gender topic because there's a lot of scientific stuff about it that people either don't care about or don't know, like the fact that sex isn't really determined by karyotype. It's phenotype. Karyotype can influence it in some organisms to a large degree. But overall, it's really not a karyotypical distinction.
Okay.
Like a lot of, in reptiles especially, the environment is what selects for it. But that's more has to do with like the chromosomes argument that people like to make.
Excellent.
When they want to dismiss any liberal understanding of it. So
you're saying that the chromosomal count and things like Turner syndrome or Klinefelter syndrome don't determine biological sex, or not? Those are not types of biological sex. It's not contingent upon chromosomal makeup.
Those would be a type of biological sex, but those types of things can be from environmental factors. And if the environment is a factor in the determining of one's gender or sex, if the environment is a determining factor in one's sex, then it is more accurately described as a phenotypic trait versus purely karyotypic. Like, for example, the SRY gene, which is in humans, it's what differentiates male from female in utero, that doesn't have to be present on the Y chromosome. There have been cases where it has been present on an X chromosome or a different chromosome, and the organism can still produce sperm.
It's transposed to the X chromosome.
Yeah.
A transposition on it.
So karyotyping, generally, you're just looking at like the gross chromosome, and you're just looking at the gross structure of the chromosome, but that's not really how it works and if you look at it in detail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting topic. I asked Florian before we started which side he would be triggering, you know, because Steve always gets you always get caught up in it, Steve. I don't know why.
I do.
Real quickly, tomorrow, Aaron Ra will be back with us. He was just with us last night. We had a really good time on stream last night. We actually beat the all-time record of viewers last night. We had 1478, I think, was the peak. So maybe we can do it again tomorrow. Bill Ludlow will be with us as well. Bill's going to be talking about a story that someone tried to trademark his company, trademark like the little symbol that he had, and the website. And he battled him for, well, how many years was it, Steve? That he
oh, was God, it's been going on for, well, I mean, Bill Ludlow got famous when he had the debate on my channel with Ken Hovind, because he just eviscerated him. He was like, Hovind just was getting back in the swing of things, and, you know, we brought Bill Ludlow on. He just annihilated him, and I guess it triggered a lot of creationists. So this has been going on for quite some time, and people that don't know the story behind this whole taking of the trademark, it's, you guys are going to be just blown away by this. It is vast.
it's a fantastic story, but he'll be telling that and what happened, because he took the guy all the way to the courts, and you'll find out tomorrow what happened with that. But him, Aaron Ra, and he said that one or two special guests he's going to be bringing along with him. So you have to tune in tomorrow to see who that will be. On Wednesday, we have Rodolfo Batista. He'll be coming in to talk about near-death experiences and the one that he had. And then on the 31st, I've got a surprise for you, Steve.
You got did you get like Mercedes Carrera back?
No, still working on that. But she wants to come back on. We just got to get a date.
I know. Her schedule is.
More Electric Universe.
Yes, I know. But I there's a plasma physicist that I know, but he lives in Italy. And so the time difference is just immense. But I'd love to get him on for about this.
Well, this guy is like super knowledgeable about the Electric Universe. And he's going to be talking with Inane Dragon.
Yeah, you know what? That's awesome, because Inane Dragon really knows his stuff about electrical stuff. So I think that's
going to be a great discussion. And then do you want to talk about Friday with Mick West?
One second here. Kind of remind me what Friday is.
This was one of your babies, Mick West.
Yeah, you asked me, but I don't remember what I scheduled him for, to be honest with you.
Oh, well. Yeah, well, whatever you're coming for, Mick West, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I remember you asked me. You know, I said I talked to a billion people. People don't realize how many people we're booking. I mean, we are like literally spending hours sending out emails, and I'll be like, hey, Kyle, schedule this person on this topic at this date, and he'll get people. But I don't remember what I scheduled this guy for. I'm sorry. Nick. Let me look at my email. I have to find out.
Let's see. And then on Saturday, of course, will be Flatterday Night Fight. This is a special one because it's a celebration for Fight the Flatterers. 5,000 subscribers. He's going to be doing three shows, 6 hours, back-to-back-to-back debates. Scotty Storm, Flat Earth Jesus, and then a special main event. So if you want to lose your mind, make sure you tune in on Saturday. Also, we will be doing the Flat Five, which the Creaky Blinder is pairing up with us. And I got the video today. It's fantastic. We picked out the worst five arguments put out by Flat Earthers each week. So they're topical. They're that week. And they are hilarious. There's one guy, Steve, that says that the sun actually sets into the earth, like the crust opens and the sun comes in. Yes.
By the way, I know who Mick West is.
How
now,
exactly? Okay?
God, yes.
Magic. But I do know who Mick West is now. I remember. Mick West is he's a science investigator. He debunks things. I believe he wanted to come on and talk about chemtrails.
Oh, perfect.
So we're going to be, I think it's chemistry. I think we did, I when I was talking to make it happen, we were going to do chemistry, chemtrail conspiracy theory. But if you go to Wikipedia and look at Mike West, that's his area, UFOs and conspiracy theories. But I think that's what we settled on. So I do remember them. I hadn't really talked to him or whoever it was I was communicating with in a while. So that's why I didn't recognize the name. Sorry, Mick.
So we're finally gonna do chemtrails.
Yeah, I'm gonna triple check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was about.
Okay, and I think that's it. Steve, you ever heard of a guy named Frank P.O. Russo?
No, if I recall.
Okay.
Is he trying to sue me for something? Is he trying to find me because of? Okay.
Yeah, he said he wants his agnostic only member's jacket back.
No, that's mine.
I wear okay. It well. Did you see my email about the debate site? I did not, Soldier of Science, but thank you for reminding me. I would have done this at the end, but in the on your screen, this will be the last thing that I announce. This is important. On your screen, on the right hand side of the sliding cards, there's one called Mootish. We've partnered with Mootish. That is a website. It's a debate platform. You can go on there, you register, and they have a topic that's set, or quite a few topics actually, and you can enter into a one-on-one debate with someone from across the globe. And you just click if you approve of the proposition or if you are against it. Well, we are partnering with them, and what they're going to do is each time we have a debate or a discussion topic that is can be turned into a debate proposition, they're actually going to host those on their website. So immediately following the show, you can go over there, and if you are so inclined, you can debate. You can keep the conversation going, and people can actually go into the rooms where the two people are debating and like or dislike arguments as they come in. So as a text block comes in, you can like it or dislike it. And what we're going to do is, as these go along throughout the month, we're going to take the top three based on likes. And they're actually going to, those two people are actually going to have the debate here on the show. So it's a really cool partnership, I think. Tonight actually is when we're going to be starting that. I'm getting ready right now to put a link in the description. Let me highlight it here. So as soon as this show is over, you can go over to moodish.com, and the debate proposition is gender is fluid, and you'll be able to click for or against that based on your opinion, and then you can debate it. So make sure you check that out. Link is right now in the description. Okay, let's talk gender, Steve.
All right,
what are you identifying as today?
Same thing I've always identified as. I am definitely a phenotypical male. Definitely. Trust me on that one. I am cisgender, heterosexual. What do you want to know? I just read you off my Tinder.
It's too much already. Too much already.
I'm not on Tinder.
All right, Florian, the floor is yours.
I identify as a cis het broccoli. Just kidding.
Broccoli.
But to start the discussion, first we have to delineate the terms gender and sex, because I feel like a lot of people intentionally screw this one up. Generally, when a liberal says gender, they mean the aesthetic expression of traits commonly associated with the biological sex. It usually has nothing to do with karyotype, phenotype, or even to some degree behavior. It more has to do with the aesthetic that person gives off. And when a conservative says gender, they mean the same thing as what biological sex means. Except they usually try and oversimplify it to mean, oh, it's just karyotype. Or, if you have a penis, you're a dude. Let's forget Swire syndrome entirely, because that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. But they also use it as a societal construct as well. I mean, like, you have gender roles in society, so if you identify as a certain gender, that could possibly mean you just identify that gender societally-wise.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So my argument for gender would be that it is no more better at it's no better at predicting people's behavior than that person belonging to a specific religion or belonging to a specific culture. And that the biological sex doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the way that they present themselves aesthetically, because that varies greatly from culture to culture. You just look at how females dress now and compare with what males used to dress like in France several hundred years ago. I actually don't know the time frame. That would be exactly bad at history. But if gender expression is that fluid over time and over culture, because then does it really exist in the sense that a biological system exists?
Well, let's start with this real quick. So I guess I'll ask some questions and then we kind of go from there, because you didn't present a presentation to Dave, so I guess we'll do it this way. When it comes to biological sex, typically in humans, would you say that there are two biological sexes? Male be the one that has the ability to produce sperm or impregnate. Female would be the ability to have impregnation or an ovum. That's typically everything I've ever read in biology would indicate those would be the delimiting factors of what the sex, strict biological sense, not sex, not anything else.
Generally,
not dealing with chromosomes, yes. But okay.
Generally speaking, yes, but in that specific case, what then would be a individual has Swire syndrome, so they're XY female that can reproduce, because that has happened. One of the links that I posted in the chat was to a case study on a family where the females in the family were karyotypically males and were capable of producing offspring.
Well, the ability to prove offspring makes them biologically female, even if their karyotype was XY. What was the chromosomal makeup?
The chromosome they were XY, but then they were phenotypically female. XY karyotype, okay. Male karyotype, female phenotype.
So was it like?
I don't know if there's a case.
Was it like an insensitivity syndrome or something, or was it?
It was. I believe that this case was an insensitivity syndrome. But this was interesting because in most cases of Swire syndrome, they cannot reproduce.
Right.
And this one's a family, it had mutated differently and they could.
Yeah, but generally speaking, they're males, but they phenotype, they express phenotypically as female, right? And so they don't usually menstruate puberty onset, developing secondary characteristics like larger breasts and things of that nature.
Yeah, part of the problem too is that if you are XY and you produce a Y, you can't really produce a Y egg. It's not going to be able to get past the 8-cell stage because it's a maternal chromosome that has to initiate cell the first stages of development. If that's not there and it's a male chromosome, you just don't develop. And so really only, I don't know what the exact percentage, but probably around 50% of your eggs would be bad if you had that. So you would have a lot of people get their Swire syndrome detected because they go into the clinic for fertility issues. They don't have externally ambiguous genitalia at birth.
Okay.
So that'd be a fun surprise. It's like, why can't my wife get pregnant? Oh, you're not karyotypically the gender or the sex thought you were. Surprise.
Yeah, but generally speaking, from what I've read this article, and maybe you can shed some light on it, but there was an article one time that they said that the most beautiful women are men for that very reason, that the most aesthetically pleasing generally that people would say would be, beautiful, which, I mean, obviously that there's no objective beauty like that.
I think it would depend on what your culture values, but.
Yeah, exactly. But they said that in Western value, what people think is aesthetically pleasing, like symmetry, things like that, the perfect woman as far as looks is actually biologically male. I don't know if you've read something along those lines before.
I have read stuff like that. I don't agree with it. I think that humans use this is from a bit later, but I think that humans like to have females fall under the handicap hypothesis for sexual selection. So like think of the things that makes a woman attractive. It's usually they're skinny, they have low muscle mass, and generally being like underweight, long hair. That stuff isn't really good if you're in a survival situation, and they generally want behaviors that make you dependent. And so humans kind of select for females to handicap themselves. I think that that's more what's appealing. Because there's other cultures, like that's more maybe a Western thing, because there's other cultures where they value signs of wealth, like if you are part of resource security, so women that are fatter have larger breasts and all that, that is more phenotypically female.
That was the thing back.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. It's cultural.
Back in Rome, all the paintings of the Madonna and all that. The women were more voluptuous, I guess, and curvy. There was something to do about that because they preferred that was considered more attractive back then. Right? You know, like plump and you see all those pictures with the Catholic paintings with the women who are naked on, you know, like the couches or whatever. They're a little bit plumper because they preferred that back then.
Yeah, and then in the '60s that kind of changed.
I would not be surprised if
that used to be thin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the preference for fatter women tracks with poverty levels or resource scarcity in a population, because you look at now, a lot of people that have secure resources tend to prefer thinner partners, whereas people that are poor tend to prefer you have to look at other cultures and in the various typically other countries and then their economic level, and it kind of tracks from what I've observed with resource scarcity, and so sexual preference for fatter women tends to track with how poor you are, because if you're wealthier, you know that you have resource security, and so a female that is very thin and kind of stick, she has to work to maintain that figure in the same sense that a woman in a poor country would have to work to maintain her figure, except the one that's well off would have to work by exercising. It presumes some level of effort in either case.
Okay.
All right. We got a lot of stuff going on in the live chat here. It's kind of going nuts here. All right. So where do you want to go with the gender thing? Because now that we seem to agree that there's two biological sexes, but there's, you know, all these different types of phenotypes and things of that nature, intersexuality. Let's talk about the actual gender issue. I mean, normally people will say that gender is on a spectrum, and I think that it actually is. I think there's a lot involved in gender. Somebody who's a good friend of ours, she is in the live chat, and she's talking about gender is not a social contract, it's construct. I think it partly is. I think it's a psychological thing and a social construct. I think it involves a bunch of different things. But where do you fall in that gradient thing? So when you're talking about gender, is it societal or is it strictly psychological?
In my personal opinion, I think that it is both psychological and societal, but that it doesn't exist in the same sense that a biological axiom would. It's in a sense self-imposed. So if you can identify with the concept or an aesthetic, then you can select for it. It's a choice to some degree. And you're going to have different proclivities like that are natural. So like depending on whether or not you're innately nurturing, one cultural aesthetic might appeal to you more than the other. But it really depends on, like, if you are naturally nurturing and you were raised in a culture where women, for example, were discouraged from that, you would probably identify more with the male concept in that culture than you would the female one. So I think that people have like their natural proclivities, but that gender is largely like the gender constructs used are largely determined by the society, or like the gender roles are largely determined by the society. And it's the conflict between the internal drives and the society at large that causes people to identify with the concept of masculinity or the concept of femininity more than, like, more or less relative to themselves, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kyle, is that, do you kind of
agree with that? There's an interesting question going on in the live chat between a couple of people. How many genders would you say that there are?
What do you say to the people that only say there's two genders? Because I don't think that's right at all.
Concept, I think you can make up however many you want. Personally, like, I don't personally get why I would identify with the concept of male or female if it's just a cultural concept. Like, I personally don't give a rip what the cultural concepts are. I'm going to do what I have my proclivities to do anyway, and then I don't really feel the need to label it as masculine or feminine. It just is the way I am, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that mm-hmm. doesn't work for other people. That's just me personally.
But there's something to be said for the assignment of a gender role as opposed to gender expression, as somebody has pointed out. So if I have a gender role, for example, like societal things, gender roles change considerably over the years, right? Back 50 years ago, the gender role was a housewife stays home, cooks, bakes, and when the husband gets home, makes him dinner and, you know, satisfies him in the bedroom kind of thing. That was the gender role. Now in 2020, in next year, that role has completely changed. There's like equality where that doesn't take place. I mean, the male stays at home just as much as the female. It's not a societal construct as much was back then. Now, but gender expression, however, you know, if I identify as a female and I express myself as a female, that is completely independent of what role I may take for gender.
Yes.
As far as the societal construct, correct?
Yes, but the societal construct does influence what is selected for in the female or male aesthetic. So, example, if you identified as female, would you cut your hair a specific way? Would you dress a specific way? Would you alter your natural behavior or your natural preferences in a specific way to better fit with cultural ideal? He's like, what about the way someone dresses or the way someone does their hair is inherently a gender trait? Like, it really has almost nothing to do with biological sex of the individual.
I don't know what you mean by trait. It's a it's not even a phenotypical thing, because phenotypical depends on the genotype. So, I mean, it's just an expression thing. If I cut my hair, I mean, I'm just expressing if I do like a pixie cut or something to look female, which, by the way, I really like pixie cuts. But if I do some kind of hairstyle that's more feminine, that's just a gender expression thing. That's nothing to do with...
But my question is, what about that hairstyle would make it feminine if it's not determined by culture?
Oh, I think it is culture, definitely. Well, one hairstyle might be in one culture, okay, might be masculine in another, sure.
Yeah, that was my point there.
And by the way, I don't mind, I have to ask this one because there's some things in the live chat. I mean, what do you associate with yourself, if we can ask, if you don't mind? Because...
I am cisgender, so I would be biologically male, right? Female. No, female.
Female. Okay, because I wasn't sure, because when we first started, your mic seemed awfully high timber.
Yeah.
So I thought that was because of your mic thing. So they're right. You're biologically female.
It might be
because
of my mic thing. My mic's
well, it sounds good now, but before on the old Mimix call, it sounded so high. Yeah. And I asked, you didn't say anything, so I assumed you were a male. I'm sorry.
No, I don't care, is the thing. Like, I am female, but I don't identify with any concept of femininity.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or masculinity. I pretty much do whatever I want.
So you're more of a
I see, get that other people feel the need to label it. No, because that in itself is an identity.
True. Okay, fair enough. So you're a gender, not identity.
That is...
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
We'll go with that.
Gender agnostic.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just because I can't prove to myself that it exists in a physical sense. I get there's like a 10% cortical density difference between the brains, but that's an average. Like the individual, it's going to vary. Also, for hormone levels, the individual is going to vary. One male could have less testosterone than an individual female that's still male and female.
Okay. So this kind of raises the question, though. It raises the question, though, and yes, I'm going to go there. Sorry, people. This is where it's going to jump the shark. Not by you, by the way, but by the audience. What pronoun do you go by?
She, her, but honestly, I don't really give a rip. It's okay, just so language.
All right. I thank you. That is so refreshing to hear. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're already going there, aren't you?
I don't think I've ever been triggered in my entire life.
No, I mean, it's already resolved. Great. There you go. Sorry, no dumpster fire on that, people.
Yeah, are you not going to inquire further on
what is it required? Go ahead.
I know what you want to ask.
You can have that one.
You can ask pretty much anything. You can ask pretty much anything. I don't care. Kyle.
Well, I'll ask Steve because he's too scared. What's your view on using the pronouns that aren't traditional, like Z, Zim, and Zer, and those sort of pronouns?
Zoroastrium.
My position is that language evolves. So, because some languages don't have pronouns, some have pronouns for tables. I don't think that really matters.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have an issue with that answer actually either. Language does evolve and people can call themselves wherever. I think the pronoun issue goes into more, do people have some kind of responsibility in society to call these individuals that have these weird pronouns that, you know, are not in society right now? I mean, Z, Zer, Zim is, I'm sorry, that's just nothing found in society right now. Now, 100 years from now, right, they may be as ubiquitous as he, she, or they, or whatever, right? I mean, but we're not 100 years from now. So you can't hold people now accountable for using pronouns that are only used in very select small communities. That's the way I look at it.
See,
that could change, though.
To that I would say, do I have a responsibility to not refer to you as she? Because I don't think that I have a responsibility to refer to anybody in any particular way. I don't think that's a responsibility that exists in society. I mean, you can be rude and refer to somebody as something that they're not, or that they don't identify with. And a lot of times that you're intentionally trying to be rude, but you don't have a responsibility, I don't think. I don't think it's a moral issue. It's just whether or not you decide to be rude to that particular person.
Here's what I think. Should it ever be something that you're forced to say, or that, you know, you get in trouble if you don't say it right? No, of course not. However,
that would be a violation of free speech.
Sure, yeah, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a word that they want. You know, that they want you. It's more comfortable for them to be referred to as. And you know, if you're not a dick, just use it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. That's how I feel. You know, that's how I feel about it.
I mean, go ahead.
I would argue that if somebody is if someone's transgender and they appear female, and you're going to call them he in the middle of a restaurant, I think Blair Rudd said this, that is impractical. People, you can say,
I know, I agree with that.
That's my friend over there. Look at him. People aren't going to know who you're talking about. On a day-to-day basis, that being a dick like that's kind of impractical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
That's the purpose of language is to communicate. So.
Yeah,
no, I think you're spot on with that. The purpose is to communicate. And, you know, if you were right, if you were to say, hey, you know, there's some, like Blair, she looks she's gorgeous.
She looks more than me, so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you say, there's my friend over there, you know, check him out, people are not going to know the hell you're talking about if you're talking about Blair, because she expresses herself very feminine. She's better looking than most people where they're born female.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, a very con- it's a very contentious issue, but I mean, I just look at it like, of course you can't be, you shouldn't be regulated to have to, you know, be forced to use certain, you know, pronouns or any word for that matter. I don't think that that's something that should be regulated, but you know, if you don't know and you mess up and, you know, you refer to them in the wrong pronoun, obviously they should be understanding that you're not doing that on purpose. If you're not doing that on purpose, but, to me, yeah. It's, you know, if they say I prefer to be called, you know, whatever, I don't mind saying, you know what I mean? It's just a word.
But I mean, like, but let me ask you, if somebody calls me a she, I'm not going to let it trigger it over it. I'd be like, well, you're just an idiot. You know, I'm like, whatever. It's not going to bother me, but it'd be like you said, it's very impractical, right?
Yeah. Like every time I go to the restaurant, you can flip a coin and guess what pronoun they're going to use. That's because I generally don't give a shit. Most women, like, they look like they give a shit about, like, how they present themselves. So I'll just go in, like, with my muck boots because, like, I do a lot of field research, and they're just like, oh, hi, sir. Or, like, you wear a lot.
Because you're not on camera because your camera was broke dick, right?
Yeah.
But do you find it typically more expressed female or male, or gender expression wise more female or male?
I would not be surprised if I have like higher testosterone levels than average for a woman, because like phenotypically I don't look particularly feminine, and behavior wise I don't act particularly feminine, but I don't really care to identify. It just doesn't matter to me. So, like, I'll wear, like, what is classically a feminine attire. The next day I can wear a suit. It's just clothes to me. It's just pieces of fabric. I don't attach any higher meaning to it. And, like, I really don't understand people that do. Like, and it's like, I don't understand that the whole, I want to change my clothes and I want people to call me a different gender than what I am. And I also don't understand men or women that have to look like a guy that has to take steroids, otherwise he's not a real man, or a woman that has to get boob augmentation, otherwise she's not a real woman. Like, you're a real man or a woman regardless. It doesn't matter what the aesthetic is, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Like, I don't think that any particular aesthetic is male or female. It's just a look.
So in that regard, if it's just a look, let's say there's like a male that's a cross dresser. And by the way, I have to ask Kyle, we actually were going to get a very famous cross dresser on at one time. Gypsy, I believe, was the name. We have to look into that.
Gypsy, James Hall.
It would be a good time to check. Yeah, to get that taken care of. Still working on that. You know, if there's a male that is a cross dresser, clearly their gender expression would be female, but they may want to identify still as a male. Right, so that's where you have to go. Well, I mean, you have to kind of ask them.
See, do you identify
male?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't see, like, if you're wearing a dress. I don't see dresses as feminine. I see them as a shape of cloth. But that's just, I don't associate it with that. I know culture hair, does.
The full nine
yards.
I don't
wear, like, I guys can do that too. It doesn't make them feminine in my mind. It's just paint.
Well,
let me ask paint.
Kyle. Kyle actually is friends with Gypsy. So does Gypsy identify as a male?
He does. Yes, when he's
even when he's dolled up.
I see. I don't know necessarily if cross dressers are the that's a very difficult pull to pull from, you know, to try to do it like a baseline, like average, because you have some, I have several friends that do drag shows all the time, but, during the, you know, when they're not on stage, they're the most masculine, you know, you would never know that they do cross dressing. Then you have some that are, you know, that stay in cross dressing like every day. So that runs the field, I think, on, it's a large spectrum in that world.
Yeah. I definitely think that'd be the case. Yes.
By the way, I am going to, I'm going to be doing in March, on this show, I'm going to be doing on a Friday night, a drag show. You will get to see behind the stage, or I get made up, and then when I actually do the drag, I can't believe I'm doing this, but
can't wait for that. That's pretty awesome. I was going to go as a Bud Light girl one time. I was going to dress up as a Bud Light girl.
Yeah, it's for charity, so you know, for the kids, I will wear stilettos.
I would do it. Shit, yeah, I would have no qualms whatsoever of dressing up like a woman for charity at all.
Listen,
put in heels the whole nine yards, and I'd be like fabulous.
Listen, it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with me actually wearing the drag get up. It has everything to do with trying to be graceful in any type of heels on a stage or anything that we're going to have to do. Correct.
That's where the problem comes. I can't even wear them to walk down a flat surface. So.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know how they do it.
I'm going to crash.
You know, I've tried before. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've sold shoes. I mean, I was the head of departments with ladies, women, clothing and the whole nine yards and undergarments. So, I mean, you try walking these things. It's like, are you out of your mind? I mean, my posture would go to crap.
They're
I don't know how women do it
or
even
feet.
Men that cross-dress. I don't get it.
Oh, let me say
painful
this.
As hell to stand in those things.
Let me say this, live chat. Because I love you and because we're family, I'm going to let you guys pick my drag name. So as you come up with them, you can just start throwing things out in the live chat, and we'll let you guys pick what I'm going to be called. So that's how much I trust you guys.
On that one.
Do me right. All right.
go ahead. Oh, there you go. That could be your drag name. Do me right.
And discount gnome is out, so don't even try it.
All right,
yeah, right. Surprised they haven't said that.
I think we should do me right.
Do me right,
Connie Lang.
That's a great.
All right, hey, go ahead. Right. Go ahead, Gloria.
Oh, I have to address something in the chat real quick.
Sure, of course.
Mustaches are generally associated with males because males have higher testosterone. If a female produces higher testosterone and grows a mustache, then it's a female mustache. But generally, they're masculine because men generally have higher testosterone.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, there's many women that have facial hair. We all have some kind of body hair. It's just it's more prevalent.
People
in males.
With picos have
and
that.
By
there
the
was
way,
a girl in one of my classes
that had a full beard like this.
They didn't grow it out. She would shave it off, but she could grow one.
Oh. But here's a fun fact, biologist. Fun fact, this is not true. People freak out about this. Hair and fur are the same thing. This is fur. It just, if we call it hair on humans. Well, but it's fur. Fur and hair.
It's a different kind of fur than what like most animals have. Like, there's different kinds of fur, but yes.
Yes. People get freaked out by that.
No.
Well, Kyle knows about
furries,
though.
Don't
you? I know about what?
It's just Kyle, care.
You know about furries.
What do I know about? Oh, because I'm gay. Oh. I automatically know all about the.
No, that's a bear. Furry is like the costume furry because you had dealt with. Didn't you? You were trying to get these furries to come on and have an argument and West Coast,
wait
East
a minute.
Coast, and furry trans. Furry
like
trans.
Furry is in the fursuit.
No, hang on. Furry trans exclusionary. What was it? Furry
flurfs.
Trans. Flurfs. Yeah, furry trans. Flurfs.
What the hell?
Furry trans. Furry trans exclusionary. God damn, what did it stand for?
It was like, what is it? TARPS? I think that.
TARPS.
That's the name.
Wasn't
TARPS.
Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist, I think is what it is.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Did I say TARPS, really?
I don't like TARPS. Them much.
TARPS.
TARPS.
Oh, my God.
I don't like them much. People that have dysphoria have enough problems. Like, you don't need to make it worse. Personally.
Yeah, no, I don't understand anything that's exclusionary as a group like that. I don't see how it really makes sense to do so. I mean, you know, we're going to accept all you people, and we're going to have, you know, we want to be accepted ourselves, but we're going to exclude this particular group because reasons.
Well, I have a funny TERP story. I went to Walmart. This is after work, so I was in a tank top. I did not look particularly female at the time. And this is after, like, the whole bathroom debate blew up. I go in the bathroom, and this lady like, freaks out and starts cussing at me and saying that I should not be in the women's bathroom because I'm a dude and I'm going to rape people. I about flashed her.
I don't get that shit. Oh, my God, that drives me so fucking
crazy.
I'm like,
go into your stall and pee, listen, lady.
Listen, if I was going to take a piss and some even hot chick came in, I wouldn't even care if a female wants to use the bathroom. I've been with women a lot. I mean, I live with somebody for like most of my life. I've lived with a female.
Most of the time, no one cares.
That's only one way.
But
though,
the
Steve.
Thing is, let me tell you, what's that?
It only works one way. You can't go in the women's bathroom and then just be cool with it.
Oh yeah. No, I get it. But let me tell Florin. when a woman, and she knows this, when a woman needs to go to the bathroom, nothing will get in their way. Right. So as a male that goes to the restroom, if I see a woman come in, I just got the only thing that thinks about my mind is she got to go. That's it.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
I generally don't have that problem. Some people do, I guess. But in the dorm that I'm in, waiting lines with women, right? Women's bathroom all the time, and women will use the dude's bathroom all the time. It's really that no one cares. It's just like they all have stalls. And
it wasn't even an issue until a couple years ago.
Stall door. Stop.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't.
I think it's
either.
Because I'm on like the jock dorms, right. They're all used to like locker rooms. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it depends on where you are, well, I mean, though. Too, like if you're in a rest stop, you know, on the side of the highway at like 3 a.m., you know, it's not going to be cool to just use you know either one. You're kind of going to want to stick
sure.
to.
But I mean, if your pet peeve is who used what bathroom, it's like, don't you have other things to fucking worry about in people's lives? I mean, like I said, I just wouldn't care. And matter of fact, let me ask you. Here's a good question for you. Would you rather have somebody who's outward expressly like a male, like for example, Buck. I think her name is Buck something or other. She's a porn star, but she looks completely male. I mean, Buck Adams. Yeah. Is that okay? By the way, I know of this from these topics. Okay, so don't check my history. But right. Buck Adams. Look, I mean, would you rather have somebody like that going to the male restroom or the female? I mean, I would think that if you're like a young child, you would much rather have that person use the male bathroom because it looks like some intimidating man to you, right?
People don't ever think of female to male transgender people. They always think of male to female for some reason.
Yeah.
Which I don't get, true. But
Buck Angel, I'm sorry, Buck Angel. I've been corrected.
I personally wouldn't care if a dude goes into the women's bathroom as long as they're there to pee. I don't care. But that's because I live on the jock dorm and that happens every day.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Everybody's looking at Buck Angel now. Everybody has Buck Angel in their browser history now.
Great job.
Yeah.
Look
at the way I'm looking at the whole bathroom thing. If somebody is using the restrooms to molest people or do, you know, looking at stuff
that
like
that. That is so uncommon, though.
I agree with that. I think it's very, very uncommon because there's so many other ways for people to get their kicks, whatever their strange, fucked up proclivities are. There's other things that's just going on in the bathroom.
Well, my point is there's already a law that covers that. It's called...
Yes.
It's called... Perversion. It's called being a pervert, peeping Tom laws mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you. Yeah, I think the whole bathroom thing is vastly overrated. I think it was like a hardcore Republican campaign thing.
I think people just want to stir up outrage, and so they make these ridiculous stances to try and offend people and start an argument.
Yeah, people like their personal outrage. Yeah, of course. People like to be, they like the indignation. They like to be outraged. They like to feel like they've been personally slighted. It's a persecution complex. We see it all the time with like Red Pill Religion, that kind of same thing. It's persecution porn.
Yeah.
People thrive on it. So I totally agree with that. And I'm not against unisex
feminism.
Bathrooms,
it's honestly just as bad.
Well, sure. Yeah. I know radical feminism. They a lot of them thrive on being persecuted as well. They go out of their way to foster drama. So then they say, oh, look, I'm being persecuted against. Now, that's not all of them by any means. I mean, I know some very great feminists out there that I respect immensely, and they make really good arguments. I mean, I hang out with like Brittany. Brittany is a feminist. We've never disagreed on anything, I don't think, when it comes to it. And if it was very, very minor, because she can express herself very well about feminism. And she's not, you know, like a radical feminist, right? So there's different degrees to be had, to be certain.
Yeah, as with anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with, like, the feminist idea. It's just, like, it's like with, like, there's some MGTOW people that are just insane. And, like, the concept could be good if they actually did what they purport that they want to do. And feminism is bad as MGTOW, but there are individuals that are at about that level of self-defeating fatalism.
Have you met Dean Esme?
No, I have not. Bell?
Oh, okay. You're lucky. We'll keep it that way. We're not going to do that to you. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. He is just an outright MGTOW MRA nutter. From the get-go, but there's other radical ones too. I mean, if you watch the show, I mean, you've seen incels come on and watched, you know, Kyle and Shannon lose their freaking mind dealing with these people. And by the way, we're not going to go into details on it yet.
I about wanted you to have scream no idea. That dude when, said when, he when, knew about when, biology. When, like, bird.
Oh, they don't know shit from Shinola.
Like I don't think that people, dude had a degree in that.
No, I don't think so either. But people don't know the fallout that we've had from these episodes. That has been a continual saga that's still going on to this day. They don't, Kyle, on a scale of 1 to 10 for continuation of drama saga from the guest, do you not think that incels is the top of the list so far?
Oh, you have no idea.
It's
I deal with it on
no,
daily,
I do,
daily
basis. but he Kyle gets the brunt daily of it, basis. And it's obscene the amount of shit that's still going on that goes in his fucking inbox. Obscene amount.
For the most part, we're kicking them in the teeth, but one scored a victory yesterday that hurt right here. I mean, got me right here. So I got to figure out a way to
minor do that. Minor victory. Yeah. Well, I mean, like I think like well, should we tell them?
No.
Yeah, if you don't want to say it, that's fine. No. But
I'll tell you off air. No,
yeah. We don't want to give the incels, you know, any kind of weaponry, you know, of what it was, so they can try to do the same shit.
Yeah. But it's par for the course.
Yeah, you can't win them all, right?
We're still coming for you next week, incels. Don't think that you're backing us off. We're still gonna fuck you up again. Just wait.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Call.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't understand and this is off topic. I don't really get a lot of the incel ideology. Because it's cheating. It's like, if you have that attitude, you're not going to accomplish anything. Because you're just so absorbed in how awful your life is and how awful and persecuted you are that how do you pull yourself out of that quagmire of self-doubt to actually improve yourself in any meaningful sense.
Did we lose Kyle?
I think so.
We got awfully quiet there. Okay, so we'll figure out what's going on with him. So you want to switch over a little bit to the live chat and see if they've got some more questions or where we're going to go with this? I'm getting some background noise here, so I might have to be here in a second. So let's see here. No pressure here, by the way, but 300 people are watching. So if you guys got questions, let's do them now. I don't see any super chats, but I'm going to look. But if you got questions for Florin, put them in the live chat. And I'm going to check the super chats as well, just to make sure.
I have someone knocking on my door. Hold on a second.
Okay, well, you do that. We can do the super chats early, so we at least get something on here. So what is gender here?
Can you not?
Dave, is that a good idea? We should just get some of the super chats out of the way.
Kyle's back.
Oh, Kyle's back. Okay. I was just going to try to fill up some air because she had to go for a second. Somebody's at the door right now. Okay, you got rid of them. Good.
Yeah, they're gone.
Just go. Get rid of them, you know. Hey, we're on
I threw some at the door, and they kept knocking.
Were they Jehovah's Witness? Oh, now we can't hear Kyle.
No.
Damn it, Kyle.
No, it was a relative. Your mic again.
Oh, that's all even worse. Well,
I got a related
what about
question
now?
For Kyle.
Yes.
I got a related go for it, Dave. Question for Kyle, though. It's from They and Them. It says, okay. Can you please ask Kyle if he will name the outfit make the outfit reflect the name when it comes to your drag show? So whatever name you come up with.
If the name's good enough, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Sure.
There you go, They
and Them. Kyle's going to just go through some questions in the live chat, if that's cool.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Gary says, though, one of my two best friends are gay or bi. I'd have a drink with them any day of the week. Some of the best folks I know. Oh, shit, yeah. I got to tell you, I've been to some gay bars before, and yeah, I had no issue whatsoever. They're fun. Sometimes you get free drinks. I'm not going to go home with any of them, but, you know. Let's see here. Inquiring mind. Yeah. Well, see, here's something people may not know, but I think Kyle has the opinion that any heterosexual straight male given enough alcohol there might be a chance.
Not any. Most though.
Okay, most. I've been drunk off my ass before. Still, never happened. So yeah, I'm not gonna say most, but a number of them. Possibly.
Well, let me ask you a question though. Here's the deciding point. Most straight guys have a celebrity or something that would, you know, that's their mark. You know, if X were to come along, then yes.
I do, but I have to say it on air.
Well, yeah.
Okay, but not necessarily as they are now, but as they were. Okay, I'm gonna get some shit for this. Sorry, Lord. Lorenzo Lamas. Yeah, I don't know why, but
Lorenzo. Could have been worse. I thought you were gonna say Burt Reynolds. I was really
worried. Oh God, no. Lorenzo Lamas, and the other one would be, I hate to say it again, but Sean Connery. Sean Connery was the fucking man.
But which Sean Connery? The Rock Sean Connery, you know, 007 Sean Connery, or King Arthur Sean Connery?
I'm going to go with 007.
So see, you would have had it with The Rock.
I was going to. Well, say
that would be okay
Rock,
too.
Kyle.
That would be.
I was
that,
just thinking.
Yeah, no, that
the
would
Rock.
Be okay too.
The Rock.
That would have been okay. Yeah. No, either
the
one.
Rock.
Yeah. But yeah,
mine,
no,
of
I
course
mean,
is Channing Tatum.
Yeah. How about Jason Momoa? I mean, he doesn't work for me at all, but
Jason
seems to be popular among the ladies. Dave sighed. Did you guys hear that in the outside? Dave was sighing. He's like,
"Yes,
Jason Momoa." Do you know who? And this is public, so I can share this. But do you know who also has a man crush on Jason Momoa? Frankie from the Geek Room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time.
Do you know? You want to know my really weird one? I can't believe that this is way too much information, but like if I had to pick someone like from the 80s or that era, totally Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I.
No way. You know,
in nothing but a Hawaiian shirt. Yes. Oh, with the Magnum theme playing.
Unfortunately, that's kind of surprising.
Right now, Kyle. I can't play it.
I would never peg that for you, Kyle, to be honest with you, because I know what your boyfriend looks like, and most people do now because you've shared it. But I kind of knew your type, so that would be kind of a surprising answer.
Well, it's just an off type. Like if I had to pick someone older and from the 80s.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. And the mustache. It's the combination of the mustache, the tan that he had back then, and the ability to pull off those gold chains with – you know, only buttoning up one button or two buttons. Forget how many buttons.
All right, but who do you think was my actual female crush growing up as a child? And by the way, Florin, we'll ask you the same question so we can bring you
into
kind of migrating. Oh, God, no.
All right.
Freaking kidding me. Well, let me ask Florin. Florin, who do you think my female crush was? And I had some – she was just the shit. She was the hit to me of just, oh, my God, this woman is just everything. And I watched the movies Sigourney like so many Weaver? Times, I almost never beat him. No, no, but, no, not even close.
Maybo,
I'll give you a hint.
That'd be closer to.
Before you give a hint,
that'd be closer
Maybo
to anything,
and,
like, my female okay. crush, I guess.
Maybo and curious, my, no, mine would be Ariana Grande. Totally,
she's gorgeous. I gotta admit, her personality makes her so freaking ugly, though. I mean, she's a good-looking girl, but her personality makes her. No, my crush was Olivia Newton-John. I loved Olivia Newton-John in Grease and Xanadu. She had the perfect 80s style. Just hotter than anything else.
Yeah, I had
an
Olivia.
Oh, Jane Seymour is good, too. Somebody said Jane Seymour. Jane Seymour was hot. Dr.
Quinn.
Who was the other one?
Jane Fonda?
No, I was never a Fonda fan.
Kind of late 70s, anyway.
I mean, if you really want to go back, I mean, Katharine Hepburn was very attractive, and
how did we get here?
I don't know. And who's the other one? What is her name? God! Don't you hate when you picture a person in their head, but you can't remember the name for some strange reason? You know, you've probably said a million times.
The actress.
I do that with literally everyone.
The actress that played that.
I know her favorite.
The tech on Knight Rider. Her word.
Okay, let's get to super chats.
Okay, do you want me to do them or do you? I got like I'm.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. By the way, I the line. I'll give you a hint. Her line, famous line, because she was gorgeous. Is he doesn't even know that I exist. Who said that?
Life oh, chat. That would be no. That's easy. That's Dean Esme.
That's what I was doing. I was like
Red Pill Religion.
No. We'll see if the live chat gets that while I'm doing the super chats here. Okay, so $2. Ken Hovind cellmate. This must be Ken Hovind's attorney in another thing, but Ken Hovind's cellmate 0645-2017 being dishonest colored me shocked. VRCNG TRX $2. Elizabeth Shue is the most aesthetically pleasing. 0132132666. I wandered away from the stream and haven't heard anything, but I assume that should be mad about something. Ramble. Yeah, you can't be. Soldier of Science, $5. Gender is just a word that has been given a definition. Well, all words have definitions.
All words are that. Depicted. So
yeah. Yeah.
But not all definitions have words.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, make me a mathematical definition. That's good, Kyle. If society tries to change that definition, maybe we need a different word. No, there's no. Let me talk about definitions real quick because Kyle's going to hate this. There's no one set definition for words. They're not intrinsic. They have no intrinsic meaning. Words have usages. And when you say by definition, generally that only applies if there's only single one definition. I would only use by definition for something like triangles by definition only have three sides, right? Because there's no four-sided triangles. That's the only time I'd ever use by definition.
Are you essentially saying that you shouldn't use the dictionary to define words?
Dictionaries don't define words. Yeah, that's one of the biggest misconceptions.
Dictionaries will change over time.
Yeah, they don't define words. What they do is they just give it.
Excuse me. They don't what?
Dictionaries do not define words. Dictionaries give colloquial general usage, but they're not prescriptive. They used to be prescriptive dictionaries, but now almost every dictionary out there is descriptive, so they don't actually define the words. It makes sense. Defining the word would mean a prescriptive dictionary tells you this is how. Okay, if I said it prescriptively, triangles have three sides. That tells you that is what that would have to be the case, right? So a prescriptive dictionary tells you what a word is definitively, but it doesn't define the word. It doesn't associate that definition with the word. It tells you how it's used. So there's a huge difference between telling you descriptively how a word is used against how to use a word.
So if you tell someone that, if someone says you say a word and somebody says, can you define that for me, where would you go to define that?
Well, I mean, you can go to a dictionary, but that the dictionary itself is not defining the word. You're giving it a definition, right? You can give it a definition that's stipulative, which is something that usually, you know, somebody will make on the fly just for the sake of the argument, right? I use stipulative definitions all the time. But the dictionary is not defining the word that this is what it has to mean. It's just telling you what it means in society. Most of the time it's usage. Because words don't have meanings, they have usage. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you're doing epistemology, one of the things you have to be really careful about is making sure that your definition of a word is the same as the person you're arguing or talking with's definition of the word, because they'll define it whatever way that they want to define it, and if you can just talk right past each other, which is why, like, dictionaries are nice, but when it comes to communication, you kind of have to ask the other person to define it themselves if you want to be straight with them. So,
if you know somebody's using a word that's atypical, you can ask them to define it. And 9 times out of 10, if they have something that works, I'm okay with using stipulative definitions for conversation, right? For conversational purposes. But a dictionary itself, that book does not define something like you would in a prescriptive mathematical source, right? If a mathematical source says triangles have 3 sides, that is prescriptively telling you that is what that definitive word triangle means in mathematics.
However, let's say as society as a whole, right? If I go to Bob down the street and I say, you know what, Bob, somebody said Yankee Doodle the other day, and I don't know what that means. Would you define that for me? I think we can all agree, though, their immediate place to go would be the dictionary, right?
Yeah, but you're missing the point. The dictionary is not defining the word. The dictionary is telling you how it's used. There's a huge distinction.
But still, they're interlocked, though. Like, define and dictionary.
I would argue that they're not interlocked because the cultural use of the word is going to change faster than the dictionary. So the dictionary is always going to lag behind the current in-use definition.
Yeah, and that's how languages occur. It evolves. Yeah,
sure.
Sure. You got to be careful of the etymological factor. I mean, etymologically, these words have roots to them, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that in modernity the word's going to mean based upon what its etymological history was. Because that doing that just is literally what the etymological fallacy entails.
Just as long as people know when, if you need to look up a word, you go to the dictionary.
Yeah, but if you want to know how a word is used in a specific field, never use a dictionary. That's like bringing crayons to art class in college. You want to know how something is used in biology? One sec. Let me ask Florin here. If you want to know how words use like evolution, you're not going to go to a dictionary. You're going to go to a biological book or a philosophical text, right? Yes. Okay.
You're gonna go to the literature. Typically.
I was about to say, I heard him wrong. I thought he was getting ready to say that if you wanted to know what a word meant, you wouldn't go to the dictionary, and that would just be ludicrous.
Well, no, I wouldn't. Words don't have meanings. This is where people keep on making mistakes. Words have usages.
This is fucking bullshit. Let's move on. This is bullshit. If you tell me that you can't go to the dictionary to find out what a word means.
Kyle doesn't understand the nuances of these terms. Like I said, listen. On the 10th of February, we're doing a hangout with Dr. Jones, who's a linguist, and he's very famous for this phrase, words don't have meanings, words have usages. And I know exactly what he means by that, but we can talk about that with Dr. Jones, who is a linguist, as the reasons behind that.
If there's a word that I don't know, and I want to know what the word means, I have always gone to a dictionary, and it has never let me down.
What you're actually doing is you're looking at how the word is used colloquially. That's all you're doing by doing that, right? I mean, would you agree with that, Florin? Let me tell you, pragmatic theory sucks.
Am I losing my mind, Chad? Is this man really telling me that I can't go to the dictionary and find out what a word means? That's ludicrous.
He's not understanding.
Ludicrous. Hold on.
Pragmatics is a very complicated subject. I've been diving into it.
It's called
speech act theory. I got to tell you, speech act theory is goddamn more complicated than the nuclear shit that I looked into. There was like 50 freaking new terms that I got exposed to that I've never even heard before in speech act theory. So it's obscenely complicated. But while the live chat kept shows up on that to answer Kyle's question, let's get through these chats.
I refuse. Rewriting cliche says, Kyle, what you don't realize is this is literally Steve's argument with agnostic versus atheist. You've walked into it on accident. Run. I shall not run.
Open that door.
When crazy men say that you can't find the meaning to words in dictionaries, I shall stand and fight. The end of today, I too, like Matt Dillahunty, will have him blocked on Twitter.
You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, these are nuanced discussions. Okay, Soldier of Science, $5. By the way, I really like that name. Gender is just, we already did that one. Gender is just a word that's been given a definition. Okay, so Serbina, $2. What about a gay gene? Isn't it They're all naturalism?
They're a gap.
What do you think there, Florin? What about gay gene?
They're a gap.
I mean,
they're a gap?
I think that you...
Gay genes, they're a gap.
What do you mean?
At the gap. I got you.
I think that there could be contributing factors genetically because homosexuality could evolve and serve a function. I mean, you look at the gay uncle hypothesis for one thing. In certain circumstances, that would be adaptive, but I don't think that that's entirely genetically determined. That can just be.
I don't think that's a behavioral preference
that individual chooses. What?
Go ahead. I don't think that's what the question means. The way I interpret it for the gay gene is that there's literally – it's not just genetic factors, right? I mean, I think that anybody would have to be out of their mind to think there's not genetic factors involved, a relationship of genetic and hormonal factors. But the gay gene was a hypothesis that was put forth that there literally is a gene that makes people gay. So for example, like I would – and I'm guessing here because I don't know much about CRISPR, but using CRISPR-Cas9, if there was a gay gene – you would theoretically be able to cut that gene out, right? Gene splice it out, and the person would be no longer gay, and I think that's completely fucking retarded. But what do you think?
I don't think that would work at all consistently. Because, like, for one thing, birth order can influence whether or not someone's gay, I think, like, to a great degree. So, like, that would be the amount of hormones produced by the mother in utero. I don't think that it's... I don't think that you could... just edit out a gene and then make gayness go away. That's oversimplifying it a bit.
But do you agree that there's a you need jelly juice can cure the gay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But agree that there's both hormonal and obviously gene linkage factors involved? Now, but it could be either one. I mean, there's no one size fits all, clearly. Yeah.
There could be some individual that just chooses to do that regardless of what their hormones or genes would imply.
All right, let me ask a question since Kyle got to ask the question to the audience. Inquiring Mind says, "Don't feel bad, Kyle. Steve's explanation about usage and versus meaning is simultaneously very simplistic and not very clear." To the rest of the audience that actually, you know, has a basic education, did anything I say was not unclear? Did anything I say was not how it actually is in pragmatic theory?
No. Now hold on, I take issue with how you asked that question because what you did is a common tactic that that people who are trying to finagle this smart live chat do. They say of those who are educated in the chat. So obviously no one wants to feel like they're not educated. So live chat, I want you do not feel pressured by his insult here. Because that's what he's doing. # Kyle was right.
Wait,
do not give in to his bigotry. Do not give in to his bigotry.
Kyle, if somebody is slighted like that, maybe they're the ones that are not very well educated. Because I don't know. I don't think anybody should be slighted by that.
See, he did it again. They're
be like, wait a minute. Exactly. See, Kyle gets it. Because they're like, wait a minute. Am I one of those people that's going to be slighted by this? Let me think about this. Am I not smart enough to answer
this? Do not give in to his bigotry, live chat. You're better.
Here we go. Joker's Wild says that he understands what I'm saying. There you go. If Joker's Wild understands, then I'm happy. I was almost going to say that anybody could understand, but I don't know who Joker's Wild is, so I don't. I'm just kidding. But thank you, Joker's Wild. I appreciate that. AT2 Productions. Jared says, Steve, I understood your point and agree with it.
Definitions like mathematical proof.
Yes.
Sorry. This is off topic. I'm saying like mathematical proofs would have prescriptive definitions, but that's
very much so. Yeah. And by the way, everything's off topic with a non sequitur show. We barely stay on topic half the time. But no, I do agree with you. But that was what I said with the three sides, right? How is a triangle defined by three sides? Thank you, David. I mean, that's prescriptively defined, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get through these. Cajun crustacean, $2. $2 to piss off Serafino, which is Serafino, Serbia. I didn't know they didn't. They want to piss each other off. They don't get along.
Thank you, Jim.
Design. yeah, okay, Jim. I'm not going to read that one. Design song won $5. Choosing a gender for yourself equals fine. It is biased to prefer a gender specific to be with. It's why society may want to label. This is hard to read. I'm going to try to read this again because it's not well formulated. Choosing a gender for yourself equals fine. It is biased to prefer a specific gender to be with. Is that why society may want people labeled by gender? Okay, maybe that made it muddle through it. No, it's not a bias to prefer a specific gender. I like women. I'm not interested in dating men. I wouldn't date somebody who's not biologically a male because this is not my thing. I don't care about anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm a mm-hmm. It's a sexual preference. That's all.
Okay, that's honey.
I mean, we all have sexual preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, I've already told you, man. You would not be my. I know that you're vain, but you would not be my type if I was gay. I'm sorry, you just wouldn't.
Listen. You can, Jim, totally however, stay Jim on that. You can totally maybe, stay on that maybe. Side of the. Maybe. Totally stay on that team. Straight team, yeah. Straight can keep you.
Well, you're
not dictionary believing that. No, stay over there. Stay over there.
We could share Jim, maybe. If you got him really drunk. You know,
well, that's. I'll let Jim answer that.
Jim would be like, "Hell no, bitch! I want to cough for myself." By the way, problem with threesomes is that over time, one of the two people always seem to pair off, and I had that happen with a husband and wife thing, because she kind of ended up wanting to go with me, and I'm like, "This may not work out too well." And then he wanted to end up with me. I'm like, "Definitely not going to work out well." Long story. Okay, so Issa Lakin. Yeah, Issa Lakin, $2. Triangles don't exist, Steve. That is very true. Triangles do not exist. I definitely agree with that. Jim Majors, hashtag Kyle is right, XOXO. Jim's just going to say that just to piss me off. He knows that. Glory Wright, $10. I might get flack, but I agree with Steve. Once upon a time, the dictionary said nice equals stupid. The dictionary gives common usage and defines words based upon that, although I'm literally saying that they don't define words, but thank you, Glory.
Inquiring minds is throwing some shade.
Yeah. Godless Fighter Jet, $2. Pour went out for the Pelicans losing Anthony Davis. I don't know. Anybody know what that refers to? Who's the Pelicans?
There's those birds at the beach that, like,
attack. No, I know what I know what a pelican is.
Well, I was going to say, Steve, if you don't know what pelican is, you could always resort to the what's that book called that you can look up thing? Oh, yeah, the dictionary.
No, he says Pelicans losing Anthony Davis, so it seems like a sports team of some kind. Oh, New Orleans Pelicans. I have no idea who that is. I just looked it up.
Jeremy, I like so men I don't know. Too, but you are also not my type, so we're good in that regard. We can be friends, though.
David McGinnis says, does this make dictionaries gay? No, but traps are. What do you think about that? Let me ask that question real quick, because that's all the super chats. Florin, are traps gay?
I would argue they would not be. But different people can have different opinions on that one.
How about if you like a trap? I mean, if you're just really attracted to a trap.
I think it's a distinct thing. Because I think that's its own thing. Because if you look at there's several studies done on, like, when they moved transgender porn onto more generic porn sites or onto gay porn sites, what the viewership was. It was predominantly straight males viewing the transgender pornography. So I don't think that it's quite the same thing as being attracted to somebody that appears phenotypically male. Mm-hmm. I think if you had to classify it, it would have to be its own thing.
You know, I don't think they're gay. I always just fuck with people saying traps are gay, but I mean, honestly, no. I mean, well, you know, I should say this: traps can be gay or they cannot be gay. It depends on who they are. Right?
Well, like, part of
and
it
looking
too
at
is...
looking at a trap doesn't make you gay if you think they have like a nice ass or something, because that's what they kind of highlight. And if you find out that they're, you know, are a trap, you know, you may lose that sexual attraction to it, but it doesn't make you gay one or another. It doesn't make the person
everything is gay,
right?
Everything's gay.
Well, your whole world is gay. You have a gay worldview. You know,
mm-hmm. Take the rainbow pill.
You're an atypical guy, gay though. You're not a typical gay. You're not like a Liberace gay.
You know, see, I am. I am straight agnostic.
You're agnostic gay. You're gay on. You're agnosticism on gay.
No, I'm okay. Straight.
Oh.
About that.
Don't try to tell me what my definition is, Steve.
I don't know what he's saying at this point.
By that logic, but, a straight guy can be agnostic on whether or not gay exists.
That's true. Many of them are. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, anyways, that's all
that
the super chats.
Both exist, personally.
Yeah. Oh, that can't be proven, though. Were you there? No. Nah. So
Davis McGinnis says trap is considered hate speech now. I've never seen anybody say that.
That's a David Hamm.
I've seen it, but the reason for that is that the term trap implies that you have somebody in a situation, and people will use the transgender panic defense in like murder cases or assault cases, where they're in a situation where like they would there's no way that they wouldn't know that it was a dude. And you're typically trap refers to somebody that is cross-dressing versus actually being transgender. So that's where that comes from.
See, I look at it differently.
I don't think it is hate speech, though, because a lot of people use it as a joke.
Who said it was hate speech?
I don't, David McGinnis. I don't think it's hate speech. This is how I look at trap.
Hate speech.
Well, hang on. And I, the way I'm looking at the word trap is somebody who goes out of their way to specifically look female just so they can trap males into thinking that they're females, you know, like they'll like highlight their ass or something so it looks like a female ass or something like that. It's not just a cross-dresser, right? It's somebody who goes out of their way to try to fool somebody into thinking they're some gender or sex that they're not.
Like the reason that some people think that it should be hate speech is because that term is used to apply to anybody that is transgender or non-gender conforming. And most of them, I would argue, are not trying to trap anybody.
Yeah, so but I don't consider that traps then. Yeah, I don't consider that traps then. I think a trap, and this is maybe just me, right? I mean, I'll go watch ContraPoint's video on this. But I always refer to that. Dictionary says traps something that catches something, right? Yeah, I mean, a mouse trap isn't what we're talking about here, Kyle. Keep up. But, I mean, I think a trap is literally, that's why they call it a trap, is somebody who's going out of their way to trap somebody.
Yeah.
That's the way I always thought it, yeah. May says, I'm a trainee.
People use that to refer to people that aren't doing that.
Yeah, no, then they're not trapping. No. That's completely different. Yeah, let me make sure that we get that out there. If a woman or man or whoever is just dressing up as the opposite or whatever they want to do, if they're not trying to mislead anybody, that's not a trap by any stretch of imagination. No, a trap is somebody, I think, willfully is trying to mislead somebody for their own agenda, right? Not just expression. There's a big difference there. But May says, from a trainee, not hate speech, and trans women don't like being called traps because it implies deception on our part. Exactly. Thank you, May.
Just
being trans is not a freaking trap. A trap, to me, is a very specific type of person that doesn't have to be trans, doesn't have to be a cross-dresser. It is literally just somebody who's trying to deceive somebody else. And I think May would actually probably agree with that, I hope. Yeah.
That's what the actual...
Did anyone what's see Kamala Harris and her acceptance speech or her kickoff for her presidential campaign? Oh. Either one of you?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. If you want to see something good, just a little, as an aside, go watch that. I don't know what made me think of that, but I watched it yesterday. It was amazing. Okay. Are we good on the trap?
Real quick, why? Yeah, I think we're good on the trap issue.
Why what?
Why go watch it? What's amazing about it? Just brief summary.
Oh, she was just fantastic. I mean, that speech she delivered was amazing.
Okay. So we kind of wrapping up then, I guess?
I think unless you have any more questions for anyone, and you can ask anything, just tag us real quick. If you have any last minute questions, you can ask us. Tomorrow again, we will have Arn Ra and Bill Ludlow, and two surprise guests. We'll be talking about the gentleman that tried to trademark Bill Ludlow's company and how that worked out for him. The next day is Near Death Experiences with Batista, and then on Thursday, Electric Universe with a named Dragon, and I believe his name's Derek. I hope I'm getting that right, Derek. And then McWest with Chemtrails. Is Kyle baked? Long. No, I'm not. I'm not baked. I'm getting sick. My voice is going and my head's foggy. Where's your avatar image from, Thoria?
I drew it. It's from my comic book series. So.
Excellent. Fantastic. Nice.
Well, this was fun. This was, you know, I got to tell you, this was a far cry from the last time that we had this topic. So I have to give you a huge amount of props, Florin, that you were able to articulate and answer questions, and you didn't go freaking nuts, and you didn't like try to challenge anybody. Very personable. So I thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm. And so Gloria,
I was afraid I wasn't coming off as opinionated enough.
No, it's okay. No, you don't have to be opinionated. You expressed your answers were. Nothing wrong with that.
And Gloria, that I saw your super chat right there. That that new one will go up tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. Gabber Kovac says, "In my language, just one pronoun for third person." What language is that? Hmm. That's interesting.
What was the question? Is my language is
it just says
in my language is just one pronoun. Oh, Japanese? I thought it was Sweden. I thought it was like in the in Nordic type countries that they have a single pronoun for third party neutral or something along those lines. So I wonder what language they're using.
Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff's really interesting.
Inquiring minds, we will if she wants us to. Do you want your social media links or anything like that added to the description? Some people do, some people don't. So
I don't really have much of a social media, but you can add my webtoon, I guess.
Okay. What is that?
It's just Mimicry 25 on webtoon, or I have a Facebook page that's Foreign Bailey. I just post updates on that. I don't have much of a social media anything. So. Okay. You're mostly just going to see art.
Got it. All right. Okay. I think that's it. I don't see any more questions. Steve, any final words? Florian, any final words that you want to send off?
Like
on?
I said, I just really enjoyed this conversation. You know, we had kind of a dumpster fire last time we tried to bring this up. And we don't shy away from topics, but this was a nice change of pace. Having to kind of watch your P's and Q's and walk on eggshells is not a good way to go through a discussion on these topics, I assure you. But the live chat seems like a lot too. So. Yeah. No, it's not. Trust me. Okay. So,
Florian, do you have any last minute things or last minute words that you want to leave us with or anything you want to plug?
Thank you for having me on here. It was fun. I don't normally get a chance to debate things like this, so I enjoyed it. If you have an interest in sci-fi thriller stuff, you can look up Mimicry 25 on Webtoon. I don't really have much else out aside from that, though. Like, there's like 3 episodes. The next one's going to be out in about 2 days, and that's about it.
Excellent. Dave, anything from you?
No, I don't got nothing.
Okay. Dave's just I just want to go home.
All right, live chat. Pick a number 1 through 6. First number, we'll take it. See what we go out with tonight. 1 through 6. 1 through 6. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about the delay.
It should catch up in just a second here.
It's not instant gratification.
18. 18. We got 18. All
right, three.
Oh, there's not eight, so there's not 18 comments. So three. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take us out.
So one to six. Okay. So let's see if you can guess which movie this.